Hello and welcome to our program. Today we are continuing in our series in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 14. We'll begin reading at verse number 12. In our previous programs, we were looking at the foes that Jesus had and everything he was doing. They were his enemies. They were opponents. They gave him resistance. And then we looked at his friends. They were the ones who supported what he was doing and were on the same side of the situation. Today, we're going to look at the feast from Mark chapter 14, beginning at verse number 12, which takes us into what the dictionary calls a feast, an annual religious celebration. Of course, this celebration was the Passover. We're going to look at that in a minute. Before we do, listen to this message and song as we approach this scripture. We're heading up just prior to Calvary, where Jesus paid it all.
I hear the Savior say, "My strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. For nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
I'm reading in Mark chapter 14, verse 12. It says, "In the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sent forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall ye meet a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. And whithersoever he shall go in, say ye to the goodman of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us." Now, as we get to this portion of Scripture, Christ's public ministry was over. They're going to have the Passover meal, and Jesus was actually the Passover lamb that had been represented for 1,500 years as they had been having this Passover meal. He was the one that was to be killed. 1 Peter 1:19 says, "Christ is as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Well, the disciples still had not grasped the significance of everything that was happening here. The city was crowded with people. And the Lord sends in two of his disciples, we don't know who they are, and they find a man burying a pitcher of water. Now, that's very rare for men to carry water. Women usually did that. In any event, the Lord knew who the man was, and he knew where he lived. One of the Lord's behind-the-scenes servants is seen here. There's a lot of them in the Bible. When he needed a boat, or a donkey, or an upper room, or a tomb, there was someone behind the scenes that the Lord had working for him. There's a lot of people today who are working behind the scenes. Well, in verse number 16, it says, "And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them." That's exactly what you can rest assured. If Jesus says it, it's going to happen in every detail. "They found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover." Well, here they are in the upper room. The upper room is the most famous room in the entire world. A lot of things happened here, and one of the things was Jesus washed the feet of his disciples here. Well, in Mark chapter 14, verse 17, we read, "And in the evening he cometh with the 12." Now, quite often there's an argument of whether Judas Iscariot was at this Last Supper or whether he wasn't. Well, it's very obvious here. "In the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me." So he is obviously there. "And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I?" Well, this hypocrite, Judas Iscariot, who was there, he said, "Is it I?" Now, he had made his choice. He had rejected Christ. He had done this all along. But now he's going to line up with Caiaphas. Make your choice, Christ or Caiaphas. Judas did not choose well. Verse 20 we read, "And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born." So what we have here is the Passover Supper. But it's not only the Passover Supper, it is the First Communion service. And so somewhere in the middle of it here, the Passover is all over, and we have not only the Last Supper, but we have the First Communion service. And this takes place after Judas has left. So in like a lot of these arguments, they're both right. Was Judas there? Yes. Was Judas there? No, not for the communion service. He was there for the Passover section of it. Well, it says in verse 22, "And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup when he had given thanks. He gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament." That word testament has been translated covenant 20 times, the new covenant, "which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Verse 26 says, "When they had sung an hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives." Now, what they sang in those Passover suppers was Psalm 113, 114, Psalm 115 through 118, and Psalm 118, verse number 24, where we read, "This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Well, in verse 27 of Mark 14, Jesus said unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." This is prophesied from Zechariah 13 and verse number 7. The word offended here means will stumble. He said, "You will all stumble tonight." Verse 28, he said, "But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Now, they're in Jerusalem. There is a bunch of sophisticated, snobbish, sneering, Christ-rejecting religious hypocrites. Jesus had said them concerning Jerusalem, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft I would have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." That's Jerusalem. Look at Galilee. Well, that's where he was born. That's where he was baptized. That's where Jesus began his ministry. Most of his disciples came from Galilee. They would have made him king there in Galilee. And there he said he would meet his disciples at Galilee after that he was risen from the dead. Well, then in verse number 29, we have these words, "But Peter." Those words are found quite a few times in the Bible. "But Peter." "But Peter said unto him, although all will be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if all should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all." Well, but Peter. Prior to the resurrection, we find that phrase, "but Peter," concerning his weakness. It says in Matthew 26:58, "But Peter followed him afar off." Luke 9:32, "But Peter was heavy with sleep when the Lord had told him to pray." John 18:16, "But Peter stood at the door without." Mark 14:29, "But Peter said, although all shall be offended, I will not." Well, after the resurrection, we read the phrases about Peter, and we find some things have changed in his life. Verse number 14 of Acts chapter 2, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words." And he preached one of the greatest messages that had ever been preached in the history of the world. Again, in Acts chapter 4, verse 19, we read, "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." What a change in the life of Peter after the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
"Nothing between my soul and the Savior, nought of this world's elusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasure. Habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from him e'er sever. He is my own, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing between like pride or station. Self or friends shall not intervene, though it may cost me much tribulation. I am resolved, there's nothing between. Nothing between in many hard trials, though the whole world against me convene, watching with prayer and much self-denial, I'll triumph at last with nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing